Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom. Amen. Why do you come to church? I mean, even now, in this time when we cannot gather together in this beautiful place, why do you seek out the gospel and the Eucharist and the prayers, even through a screen? Why do you come to church? In our gospel today, Jesus is once again teaching. This was his way to teach through story, through witness, through caring, but always he was teaching, rabbi, teacher. Today he is teaching in the synagogue, not just his disciples, but the chief priest and the Pharisee. He is teaching his teachers. And so he tells another story. Again, a parable meant for their learning, for our learning. This parable is violent, surprising, and twisted, a Netflix-worthy murder mystery. And in Jesus' way, also tricky, a bit of a riddle. Jesus sets these leaders of the community up with what is a pretty obvious story with a fairly predictable end, and they answer, probably feeling pretty good about getting it right. But in their moment of pride, he flips it on them, and he makes a point that by all accounts, I would say that they didn't see coming. Sure, the tenants who are devious and murderous will lose the right to lease the land, and those who will give back the produce at harvest time will get the land because they are trustworthy with what God has given them. But then Jesus says to them, maybe the most offensive thing one could say to another rabbi. He says, have you not read the scriptures? And so he quotes scripture back to them. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This statement is a foreshadowing of the coming crucifixion of Jesus. He is saying here that he is the heir come to collect the harvest from the vineyard, and that they are the wicked tenants. Here, Jesus isn't just talking about handing over the harvest, doing the right thing, or being trustworthy. Jesus is holding those in power accountable for rejecting Jesus as a teacher, for rejecting the truth he brings. In our gospel, it says, when the chief priest and the Pharisee realize he is talking about them, they want to arrest him, but they feared the crowds. Jesus holds people in authority, people with power, accountable for their faith, for their ethical choices, for knowing their scripture, for producing the fruits of the kingdom. Jesus does this often throughout scripture, and he isn't always nice about it. Jesus kicks over tables. He argues. He calls people out in public. Jesus holds people in power accountable for hypocrisy. Why do we come to church? If you have never been called a hypocrite, then you have never raised a 13-year-old daughter, and you have probably not read closely the scripture. Friends, there is simply no way around the fact that we, all of us here, are complicit in sin, confronted by the gospel, and in deep need of salvation. Am I right? This is where, if you were here, you would say amen.
Amen.
Thank you. To be sure, there is no denying this profound yet simple fact But does it mean that it is easy or comfortable when it happens? Does it mean we want to hear it? Why do you want to listen to Scripture with your brothers and sisters in Christ? Why do you want to pray the prayers with your church family? Why do we come to church? When the chief priests and the Pharisee want to arrest Jesus for speaking about them, they are really wanting to silence his voice. They are wanting to quiet the voice of accountability because they are uncomfortable. Jesus and the early Jesus followers brought comfort to the poor and to the marginalized, yes. And Jesus brought comfort and care to the repentant sinner, and they brought challenge to those in power. Richard Rohr, in his book, Jesus' Plan for a New World, says this: as soon as people are comfortable, we don't normally want any truth beyond our comfort zone. But the gospel always keeps us in a state of longing and thirsting for God. Grace seems to create a void inside of us that only God can fill. So why do we come to church? Why do we read Scripture and seek to be fed at this table? Yes, to be filled, to be fed, to be comforted, but also to be confronted, so that we can be aware of the void that grace creates, so that the gospel can keep us in a state of longing and thirsting for truth and accountability, for the truth that Jesus offers us through his challenging word. When we accept our deep need of grace, of God, of Jesus, when we listen and understand the gospel, we will thirst for truth even when that truth confronts us, holds us accountable, calls us to repent. So how can we lean into the gospel for that kind of truth, grace, without silencing Jesus, without rejecting the accountability and the truth of Jesus? What enables us to take a good, long look at ourselves in light of the gospel messages and the call to produce the fruit of the kingdom? What enables us to seek not just comfort, but the willingness to be confronted? When we realize Jesus is talking about us, do we want to silence Jesus, or do we want to lean in to listen and understand? I want you to recall the last time someone held you accountable, or questioned you, or something you hold dear, or the last time someone gave you feedback about the way you impacted them. How did you feel? How did you respond to them? When you hear about the poor and the marginalized in the world today or in our gospel, when you hear words like privilege, do you think they are talking about you? Do you feel confronted? When you hear a challenge, do you want to silence those voices, or do you hear Jesus calling you to lean in, to listen and understand? Jesus said, listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower around it. Then he leased it and went to another country. Then he went to another country. While he was in this other land, the tenants he had put in place wreaked havoc and chaos. By all accounts, the landowner has the right to hold them accountable. But how can he when he has gone to another country? This landowner and the tenants have no relationship that would make way for accountability. So why do we come to church? I think we come to church for relationship. with each other and with God. And from that relationship, we come to receive both the comfort and the challenge of God to be blessed and to be confronted. But like the landowner and the tenant, without a firm and grounded relationship, how can we hold each other accountable? Yes, Jesus offers comfort to the poor and the oppressed, and he challenges those in power, but Jesus does so from a place of grounded relationship. Jesus offers comfort and challenge from a place of knowing the people to whom he speaks and being with them, not from another land, but from amongst them. Which leads me to a question, to a deep pondering about our church community now, a deep pondering about how we can both comfort and challenge each other to produce the fruits of the kingdom and for the harvesting of our vineyard. I wonder, how can I, as your priest, stand in this pulpit week after week, or at this table week after week, when we have not yet been able to form relationship, when we have not been able to build community together? How can I ask you to look deeply at your vision and your collective values and actions as people or as a church when we have yet to really be church together? This is a real and difficult challenge for us, because this is a difficult time to tend a vineyard together. It must feel to some of you like I am the tenant who's been given power over your vineyard when you are living in another country. Because here I am, preaching from my perspective and orientation, talking about how to produce the fruits of the kingdom, at times holding us accountable or confronting this community for our choices and ethics, and yet you still do not really know me. So I want to say to you today that my work is to get to know you, even while it may seem we are in different lands, because you know this vineyard well. Those of you who have been tending it for so long, and I am the tenant you have called to help you reap the harvest. And we all have responsibility to build relationship with the owner of this land, which is God. God gave us this beautiful vineyard to tend together, but in the end, it is God's vineyard. And my work, our work now, is to get to know one another and to learn what it is we want to grow here in this vineyard. I will seek to know you through Bible study, through conversations, through work with our vestry and ministry groups, through small group study and special services, through reading and learning about the harvest that has been gathered at Grace over the last 115 years, and to spend time in prayer with you in this space. And the truth is, while I will try my best to be a good tenant along with you and to lead us through this difficult time, our work truly depends on us forming this grounded relationship so that we can both comfort and hold each other accountable to our common mission as a church community. We are all different here. We have different backgrounds. We are from different generations. We may see things differently and understand the current times differently, but we, all of us, have the same call to produce the fruits of the kingdom of God in this place. And while I will continue to step up in this pulpit and preach from this gospel and pray these prayers, my deepest work is to come to know you. And only then will you be able to trust that I will tend this vineyard with you well. And then together, we will build this place upon the one chief cornerstone of Jesus and his teachings. Then we can lean into the teachings of Jesus even when we feel confronted, even when we are uncomfortable or challenged, because we will be in it together. I am grateful for the people who have called and emailed and sought to know me. Those of you that have offered both challenge and comfort. Those of you that have begun to build relationship with me. This is indeed an odd time to attempt to build relationship, and yet it is crucial that we do so, because the fruit of this vineyard is the love of God, grounded in the teachings and salvation of Jesus, grounded in the one law to love our neighbors as ourselves, and to love God with all our minds and all our hearts. And to do this work, we must come to love one another. Have you not read this in the scriptures? Yes, we have, and we will. We will continue to read the scripture and pray the prayers, even while it may feel we are in different countries. You have my promise that I will be accountable to you to tend this beautiful vineyard with integrity while I seek to know and to love you, to listen to you, and to understand. This is why we come to church, you and I, to be in relationship with each other and with God, which leads us to produce and harvest the fruit that Jesus has planted here in this beautiful vineyard together. Amen.